If you have your Bible open to Matthew 22, we'll be there this morning. I titled the lesson, What Must Be. It's kind of a strange, but it's really not. As we go through, you'll see it, that one of the things we talk about a lot is being faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. In order to be faithful to the Lord, there are two things that must be. And that's what we're going to see. If you're going to make it to the end, two things are what must be. And we're going to see that through Matthew 22. And the first thing we're going to see in verses 34 through 38, the number one thing that must be is undivided, undistracted devotion to the Lord. You got to be committed in this deal. Undivided devotion within your being. Look at verse 34 as we began. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" The Sadducees were a people that did not believe in the resurrection. Kind of interesting. It's not any different than our day and time, how you have all these varied ideas. And here within the Jewish nation itself, there were people who didn't believe in the same thing. And they want to question Jesus. They question Jesus. And you can go back and read it about the resurrection. Jesus told them right off, here's what it's about. Silenced them. Well, Pharisees heard that. And so here's this one fella in verse 35. He's a lawyer and he asks him a question, testing him. We don't have pure motives. There's not pure motives. But Jesus always does things in pure motives, even though they don't. And they want to know, the lawyer wants to know, in verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? Tell us. 37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is what must be." You want to know the greatest commandment in the law? Everything, and he's quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 here. And he wants them to know, this is it. This is it. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. Everything in your being is to love the Lord. Because if you don't love the Lord with all of your being, your heart, soul, and mind, other things are going to creep in and you're going to find excuses and reasons. And now you're in trouble. This is the greatest. And it's no different in John chapter 14, you know, verse 15. John brings his disciples together and you know what he tells them? He tells them there, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Everything is about a love relationship between you and the Lord. It's not about you shall do this, you must do this, you know, keep this commandment, keep that commandment. Everything is a love relationship. And when it's off of a love relationship, it brings greater value to your life. Hold this for just one second. We're going to come back here to Matthew 22. Come over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. When you and I love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, I mean, that leaves room for nothing else. There is no room for anything else. That's not saying you don't do other things. You don't love other things. You keep God in His place. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 3. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, And His commandments are not burdensome. You know what the love of God is? You say you have a love for God. The love for God is shown in one area, that you keep His commandments. And you know what the commandments of God are never? They're not burdensome. If God's commandments, if you are burdened keeping the commandments of God, there's something wrong with your heart. And I'll say that out front. If you feel burdened by doing this or doing that that God wants done, something is wrong in the relationship between you and God. You know, I look sometimes when I get all of my grandkids together and we'll be sitting in the house and doing our things, and all of a sudden I can say, you know, Grandpa's thirsty. You know what those kids do? They fall over themselves to find out which one's going to get me something to drink. I'm not commanding it. They want to serve. Their hearts are in it. I don't have to coerce them. It's not a burden for them. You and I love the Lord. There's no burden to His commandments. Oh, you know, I got to go worship today. Well, yeah, something is wrong in the heart. You and I need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And if you don't, things become a burden. Things start weighing on you. Jesus said it another way. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said it this way, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either love the one and hate the other, he will cling to one and despise the other." No one, it is impossible to serve two masters. You can't love doing this and then love God at the same time. God's not splitting time with you and with me. No, there has to be a love for God in all things. We are only capable of giving our heart, our soul, and our mind to one master. We're not capable of splitting time, because if you split, you're cheating both masters. Because you're not giving whole to either one. You can only go one master at a time. And if you have a love for God, you will have a love to keep His commandments, to keep His word. You know, you don't force things. Love is not forcing. Come back, if you would, to Luke. Just thought of this. Look at Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. You know, when you feel forced into it to follow the Lord, oh, you're going to do a real poor job. It's going to cost you your soul. I want to go to Luke chapter 7. I want to begin in verse 36. And I'm going to read through the section because I want you to get the picture. You'll get it. I only want one verse. But I want you to see the picture. Look at verse 36. "Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he replied, 'Say it, teacher.' A moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he answered him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She wasn't even invited. This is in Simon's house. She wasn't a guest. She heard Jesus was there. Somewhere in her past, she knew something about Jesus. And it didn't matter to her if we're talking about someone else's house. It didn't matter to her what anyone in that house thought of her, how they saw her. She knew one thing and one thing alone, that she loved the Lord her God with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what she knew. Everything else was eliminated and out of the way. And all she began to do is pour her adoration to Jesus Himself. And then yet, what does Jesus do? Verse 47. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. There it is. People that don't know they've been forgiven much do not love much. And are we a people that have been forgiven much? I mean, Just take a brief inventory of your life and think of the number of sins that you've committed. Think of the ignorant things you did. Think of the rebellious things you did. Think of the crimes you did. Think of the words you said. Think of the people you hurt. Think of the things that you may have stolen or robbed or what. How high are our sins? And Jesus speaks to those who come confessing and are baptized into my name. I forgive their sins. And God comes stating, and their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more. The ones who are forgiven much love much. There is no question. Forgiven people love the Lord their God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. People that don't realize they're forgiven of everything don't love much. They try and make this attempt to serve two masters. And you want to know why their lives are so weak and shallow and empty. Oh, what must be undistracted, undivided devotion to God. That must be there. And you know what softens a person? Forgiveness. Forgiveness always softens a heart. It didn't make it hard and crusty. And so when we look at the cross for you and for me, the death of Jesus gives me every reason to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Doesn't it? That's the first must. And there's no way around it. The second must, come back to Matthew 22. It's found in verse 39 and 40. And he said, the second is like it. He You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. The second one is, you have to love others. You have to love others. The two things that must be in our lives are loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, and the second one is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I'm going to make a change to that one, and you'll see why in just a second. But he goes on to relate in verse 40, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Everything that was written back in that old law, everything that was written back in the prophets that they prophesied, everything hinged on these two things. It wasn't just a bunch of thou shalt not. No, it was about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. What kept Moses on track? What kept all of these people, Elijah, Elisha, what kept all of your Old Testament prophets preaching and teaching in the face of people when people were so cruel? They loved the Lord their God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they loved their neighbors. They loved those other people of God, and they tried to preach and reach them. And it cost them a lot to do it. But those are the two musts. You know, the other day I was standing at the house, and I'd been reading through this, thinking about it. I was looking at a door we have in one of our rooms. I'm pretty simplistic sometimes, but I was looking at this door. And I realized, you know what that door relies on? Hinges. That door's not going to function without hinges. And I walked over and I just opened it up, and there was a hinge up here and a hinge down there, and it struck me. You know what? There are two things also everything hinges with God. Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two hinges that everything swings on. That's the one that gives purpose. And without those, you're not going to make it. Now, Jesus teaches them about the law and the prophets here, and one of those things is there in verse 39, and he's quoting out of Leviticus 19, just so you'd know. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was the standard. Did you know Jesus changed the standard? Loving your neighbor as yourself is no longer the standard. In John chapter 13, Jesus takes his apostles, and he's talking only to them, and you know what he tells them? He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. We change from the standard of self to the standard of Jesus. I want you to love as I loved. I want you to agape one another. I want you to lay your life down. I want you to give you up for the sake of someone else. Because he goes on to say in verse 35, by this will all men know you are my disciples, because you do love one another as Jesus loved us. Oh, this is what everything hinges on. This is what everything stands on. This is a must, to love one another. Let's take it a step further. Come over with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Here's kind of another angle with another lawyer that the same lesson comes out of. In Luke chapter 10, look at verse 25. He said, and the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, they're always testing Jesus. I want to know what I need to do to inherit it. I want you to give it to me, verse 26. And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? 27. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. One verse, he covers the whole gamut. That's how it read to the lawyer. Well, that's what we're talking about, verse 28. And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." That's correct. If you will love the Lord your God with all of the fiber inside your being, and I know as I stand up here this morning and we examine our lives, let me ask you, do you really love God with all of your being? Is there anything that you love in life that you cannot give up for the sake of the Lord? Is there something in your life that when it comes up, you will give that precedence over the Lord and what He wants? Then you love other things more than the Lord. And I mean, we could talk about a lot of things, you know, a lot of outdoor activities. But the one thing about it, everything depends on that. Loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving your neighbor. I mean, everything hinges right there. Look at verse 29. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" His heart isn't in it. Jesus just exposed him. And so Jesus illustrates. Let me show you what love does. Verse 30. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." I mean, here is a fellow. You know, Jerusalem to Jericho, by the way, is a very difficult region. A lot of robbers, a lot of things go on bad in this area. The man's left half dead. He may make it, he may not make it. Verse 31, "And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." The two most religious people that you would ever dream of. The ones you get your teaching from. The one that instructs you in the way of Scripture. And guess what they both do? They're not bothered with the need of the man. And I want to underline need. You got to look at the need. And this poor helpless man was in deep need. Continue. Verse 33. "But a Samaritan who was on a journey came to him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion." You know, this would hit at the heart of a Jew. Samaritan, half Jew, half breeds at best in their mind. Here's a Samaritan. And you know what's amazing? Jesus adds into this Samaritan, he was on a journey. Be like being on a vacation, going on a trip somewhere. Let me ask you something. When you're on a vacation, do you want to be bothered? Anybody? Do you really want to go out of your way when you're going off on a journey and you want someone, "Oh, no, got to deal with this. I come in to escape from that." Notice how quickly things become about us. Where's love in that? Where's sacrifice in that? And you know, it's interesting here at the end of verse 33, he said he felt compassion. Now, a lot of people are compassionate, but they don't understand what compassionate is. They're taking feeling sorry for somebody as compassion. Compassion is when you have the ability not only to feel for another person, but you can do something to help. That's a compassionate person. Continue on. Verse 34. "And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." Verse 35. "On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And whatever you spend when I return, I will repay you.'" Question. Was the Samaritan man, was he obligated or did he love? Did he feel a burden? Oh, I got to help this guy. Nobody else will help. Was it a burden? No. His heart was in this thing wholly. He wanted to love. He knew something about God. He knew something that God is concerned about the needs of the helpless. And he knows that. And can you imagine? Yes, the innkeeper might have to look over him, but you know what? The innkeeper's getting paid. He gave money to the innkeeper to make sure things are arranged. That it's not coming on you, Mr. Innkeeper. It's on me. And if it goes beyond that, you'll get your just reward. I'll pay you your dues. And yet, how many times? Oh, my money's tight. I can't. Everything. It has to be to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And you need to love others, especially in need. That's what everything hinges on for you and for me. Verse 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Jesus said to him, go and do the same. For the Lord to show you and me mercy, and for me not willing to show mercy, that's an evil heart. I'll tell you. We've been shown so much mercy. What do you expect the Lord wants us to do? Take my mercy and use it for others. That's called love. Before I close this out and let the lesson be yours, you come to realize in life there are three types of people. First, you have the self-righteous. They don't think they've been shown any mercy. They don't know the love. And when a person is self-righteous and they think, you know, they look at other people and their troubles or their needs and they're not bothered by it. You know why? Because they just have no consideration. They've arrived and they want to know why everybody hasn't arrived where they've arrived. That's one type. Second type. There's the self-centered. Everything is about them. Everything that is used is about them. Everything that they give is about them. Everything that they say and they do, it's about them. And when you take a self-centered person and a self-centered person is told no, they get angry, they get upset, you know, because they have no concern about what might need to be done. So you got the self-righteous. You got those that are self-centered. And then you have those who love the Lord their God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And they love others. And if you watch people like that, they're touched by His mercy. They find love in His death. And they want to help. They want to help. They want to help the Lord's church because they're tied to Jesus. And they love the Lord and His mercy. They want to help the Lord's cause. And let's try to save some folks out here. That's the cause. All people that love the Lord their God and love others, they're the ones that help things thrive and move forward. The rest, They're just going along doing their thing with no concern. And so, this morning, I encourage every single one of us. You need to examine your heart and find out what is. Because what is must be. And you must love the Lord your God. There is no room to love anybody else besides Jesus and end up making it. And if you love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it'll automatically lead you into loving others, looking out for needs. And that's a gimme. So I encourage you with that. I plead with you. Examine your heart, examine yourself, and let's ask, do I really love the Lord with all of my heart?